There it is. Adelaide win three in a row.
Hit 107 and the Adelaide Crows present...
Ozzy Adelaide!
The Podcast.
Jenkins, a boy! March turns, runs, and he kicks it.
Crows fans, welcome to round 16 of the Crows Podcast. But we're missing... We're missing our...
No Amos.
No Amos.
It's just the roses left. The roses, the rose bush is here. The thorns are at home.
You'd think he wouldn't deserve a holiday, but he's having a bit of a holiday. So
the good news is when we first
time.
Cast Amos to be in the podcast, yes. He was the comedic value, wasn't he? And yeah. He hasn't really delivered this year, has he? So we've got Beck in. Beck's going to come in. She's been putting the coach's hat on the last couple of weeks, but today she's the...
I'm going to try and be funny. I don't know how that's going to go,
humor.
Guys.
You're the humor,
I don't know.
The four of us.
No, well, it's good to have you here, Beck Goddard. Pods, of course, still just basking in the glory of the namesake of the Podscast. Are you enjoying it, Pods?
I think we can move away from it now. I reckon that JJ has really taken his top four to another level, so it could be almost the top four cast soon. Jay, thoughts?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
coming up in the podcast today, we're going to talk about the red card debate, Nick Riewoldt, Jakey Lever, Mitch McGovern, the Bulldogs tonight, of course. But let's go back to, last week, Carlton, good game. We won. That was good.
One of us turned the TV off in this room and it couldn't have been Pods, couldn't have been me.
Come on, Beck, give us your professional opinion.
Gave up on it. Happened.
I admit, it wasn't giving up. It was just I had to have time out.
Recalibration.
You know, it's the appropriate way to do things when you're getting upset.
At what point did you turn it off?
Carlton, I think, got ahead, just ahead, and I thought, I just need 5 minutes out.
Now, if coaches were allowed a phone in the coach's box, what text message would you have sent me at that point?
Look, I'm really calm. Bet Goddard as a coach and Bet Goddard as a footy viewer are two different things. So I actually remember a time, you know, growing up in Canberra, I was a mad Hawthorn fan, and I remember watching Buddy Franklin when he was playing for the Hawks kick, I think it was 1-7 or 1-9 against Richmond, and they were losing badly, and there was a knock on the door from the police. And the next door neighbours had phoned in. They thought there was some domestic violence going on next door because I was screaming at the TV. So
wow.
Much.
Beck.
Oh, of all people.
So, I would have kept it. Would have kept the text private to you, I think.
I think last week, Johnny, if we go back to that, the last quarter was good for our boys to experience that and good for us coaches as well to experience a closer game. And we just thought in that first sort of 5 minutes of the game, JJ, or the last quarter, that... some of our guys went to another level. I thought Richie Douglas, Brad Crouch, Joshie here. I thought our intensity, our pressure at Carlton was really good. And they hit the front there by a point. But, we were pretty confident in the box that the boys were going to get it done.
I was a bit unsure. Like Dale Thomas's goal, you would have thought it was 100,000 in the house, not 35 or 33 or whatever was there. But, it's a great place to play footy, as everyone does say. But we, to our credit, we dug in and could have, not easy, but you could certainly have understood, as Beck did and predicted, that perhaps we would have got beat, been beaten from there. So to rally on the road like that was pleasing and something that a lot of people, analysts, experts, if you want to call them that, have been asking for from us. So.
Your goal in the last quarter, though, that would have bought the... If that was at home, if that was at Adelaide Oval, that would have bought the roof down.
It would have. The first one, I was ready to erupt.
Down, that's for
I was
sure.
ready to erupt for the set shot, and it just hit the post. So thanks to Dougie for that little chop out.
Pods, you talk about the text there. Do you get, when you do grab your phone, so if you're not allowed to have it in the coach's box, do you often get coaching tips afterwards? Do you check the messages?
Oh, I've got a couple of close friends who are Crow supporters, and... they're usually quite complimentary of some of the players, really. I've got no one really digs in, but I'll get a couple. Couple suggestions.
Now, speaking of the team, Jake Lever's been in the news this week. Of course, Western Bulldogs are playing them tonight at Adelaide Oval. Staying or going? You can't answer, but let's talk about it.
Give some insight, James. He's your protege.
Yeah.
What are the numbers they're throwing around? I mean, it always happens when we're playing a team. Teams at 1.2.
Yeah, it does happen, doesn't
1.2,
it?
1.2 Western Bulldogs.
A door stopped in the supermarket the other day and asked whether we were going to be paying Jake Lever that much money. And I was like, whatever you read in the media, you just take a 50% discount.
Yeah, right.
Whether it's money or whatever they talk about. But I think, we've made it pretty clear where the club's at. And we don't get to a point where we start talking about players' contracts.
You always get more to leave, Jake, if you're listening. That's just a fact. Everyone gets, you've got to pay extra to extricate someone. So He'll be right.
And what sort of distraction is it during the season when, you know, JJ, you've been through
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I didn't actually find it. It can be energy zapping a little bit, but you spend a little bit of extra time talking about it, more so with friends than anyone. They want to know as much as anyone what's going on, but I didn't find it distracting at all. I'm certainly not running around at half forward thinking about my contract, that's for sure, and that's all that matters. So as long as you can keep your physical and emotional energy high when you need to, that, you know, I don't think it's a huge distraction at all.
I think from a club's perspective, I mean, Jake Lever, Mitch McGovern.
Yeah, Mitch McGovern.
I mean, we drafted them both 3 years ago. They've come a long way since then. The development's been really solid. I think the club, and we think they're in a good culture and they can continue to progress their development. So, I think they're in a good spot.
Create a good home, they won't go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick Riewoldt was in the news during the week
That's
as well.
That's a bit indifferent, isn't it, the reaction to that? I like it. I'll put my thing out. I didn't mind it.
If you're not sure, he was obviously a younger player. He was a free kick, and Nick was saying, give me the ball, give me the ball. Threw the ball to him, stepped away. No, I don't want it.
Yeah,
I can't
exactly.
have it. And then the umpire, unfortunately, just saw what it was.
50-metre penalty.
50-metre penalty. What do you think, Beck?
Oh, heartbreaking on the integrity of it. I'm looking at it from the poor kid who grew up loving Nick Riewoldt. And
he fell straight into his
trap. So I'm looking at it like that. Didn't like it.
Clever, JJ?
It's clever. I don't know. It doesn't happen very often, so it's hard to make a call on it. But
does it happen all the time, though? You're trying to trick each other and, you know, that's all.
Nah, I guess the obvious one that I've tried a bit unsuccessfully is to call, you know, everyone knows everyone, you know, AFL players, so often call for the ball and try and use their nickname.
Yeah.
It might work 1 in 100. I must be up to 98 because it hasn't worked for me yet. But, yeah, there's a few little things like that. But, I mean, it's not – he hasn't committed a crime, has he, Nick? So – let's just take your 50-metre penalty and be happy.
What about you, Pods? Any back in your day? Any tricks that players would do on the field?
I did the same thing as JJ, ran around the back of defenders calling for a handball. But I think I got done once with a player calling for a ball. It was the wrong player. I threw it to him and he stepped away and gave away 50 and the coach wasn't happy. But I didn't mind what Nick did because I was on the other end.
Bernard Tomic.
Loved it.
Come on.
Oh,
we're talking sports news here as well. Bernard Tomic.
I thought he could have gone harder.
He said he was bored.
I thought he could have gone harder.
What do you mean?
I thought he could have gone to the line where maybe, you know, Rafa, he tries way too much. He's a try hard. In all honesty, it was a bit bizarre watching him because when you start playing sport, you play it for a reason and you play it because you love it. And I can definitely see being involved in elite sport for a fair bit of time now how people could fall out of love of the game they're playing, whether it's tennis, whether it's footy. It's a really tough industry to be involved in. So I can definitely see it. But I reckon he's got to come up with some tools to get himself out of that space.
Beck, too young?
Oh, I just think it was really sad. And, you know, coming from a women in sport background where you 100% love it, and I just found it really, really sad. And the facts are he can't find another job that's going to pay him that much. So that's what's overriding at the moment.
JJ, do you think people do it for passion or for money?
Both. Absolutely both. You can't – I mean, his case in particular, we can't actually – in my view, I don't think we can begrudge him because we – you know, it's his choice to you know, that's his job, that's his workplace. And as Beck said, he makes that amount of money. He's not going to just roll into another job and make that same money. Perhaps he would do that if he could. I guess provided he doesn't start not trying on the field because, you know, that gets strikes at the heart of the integrity of sport. And, you know, if we don't like it, we just don't watch him. We don't put the TV on when he's playing or don't actually shell out money, which in turn goes to him to watch him play. So, look, unfortunately, it's ugly, but it's his God-given right to feel any kind of way he does about the sport or his workplace, not a sport as such.
Do you want him playing for Australia?
Probably not in the state he's in now. There's no way.
I think if you looked at footy in the team environment that you've got, a player would never get to the point to be selected in a team.
It's a difficult sport because, or the individual sports, I would struggle a little bit with because there's probably only one or two people who would truly, you win an enormous tournament, and there's probably only one or two people who are really close to you who would actually enjoy it as much as you do. there might be people who feel good for you. I think, you know, say, well done, congratulations. But there'll only be a couple of people, maybe your coach who puts in a similar amount of hours, your parents, who feel as good as you do. Mm. Whereas in our sport, you know, there's at least the 22 players plus a big coaching network who all put in heaps of work and you win and you feel great. It's 40, you know, you celebrate with 40 people instead of probably yourself.
But he can coast for the next 10 years and,
that's
have,
what he said.
And have a really good living.
That's exactly what he said. He
goes, they get, you know, $60,000 for first round at Wimbledon.
Well, he reckons that he goes, I'll play tennis for the next 10 years and I probably won't win another tournament. I probably won't win another major, but I won't work for the rest of my life after that.
Mm. What are your thoughts to the fact that if he, you know, you're going in that first round, you know you're not going to play very well, or you pull out with an injury, you're going in with an injury, should they get their 60,000?
Probably not. It's hard. Hard to,
like, and how do you judge it?
Yeah, that's right. It's hard to monitor that. I've heard Nick Kyrgios say openly as well, he doesn't love tennis. He doesn't have a huge passion for it, but he loves the NBA and American sports far greater, and tennis allows him to go and watch, sit courtside and do all that kind of stuff. So, as I said, you know, it's not the greatest look and probably not ideal and not a model that we want our kids to follow, but it's their choice.
Mm. While we're getting opinions this week, the red card debate came up again during the week, of course, obviously with a few tribunal decisions over the last couple of weeks, sort of in the AFL and in other areas as well. We don't need to go into that, but the red card debate.
Well, I mean, I've used it in my umpiring career at community level, and it's extremely useful at that level. But when we get to people getting paid a lot of money, fans come to see a certain game, what if the umpire sends the wrong person off? I mean, it could have huge ramifications, but at the same time, where it's a blatantly obvious situation as to what's occurred, why should one team be a person down and the other team not?
I just said I wouldn't want to burden the umpires with another decision to make, so perhaps it has to be someone who sits upstairs and views it all, sees the replay. That would make some sense because, it wasn't fair that Sydney were one down last week for the entire match, effectively, because I think the incident was early. So perhaps if you put it in the hands of a video umpire, it might work. But yeah, I'm really torn on it. I can see arguments for both sides.
I think the concept defined rules, wouldn't it? Yeah,
I think the concept is completely valid, especially in this day and age. Especially when we're talking about, encouraging kids to actually join playing AFL, and when you see those sort of incidents on the field, you've got to actually make a stand straight away, I feel. So there's definitely some relevance to it, but I agree that there's got to be a bit more flesh put on the bone from maybe the AFL and some clubs on working out the best way possible.
Mm. Try it out in the pre-season, that type
perhaps
of thing.
Perhaps it wouldn't be a bad idea. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, Beck, what's happening in your world?
I'm about to go to the Gold Coast, guys.
Do a stand-up gig. Half-time
in the podcast.
Yeah.
Rating of
hanging out at Sin City. No, I'm going up to coach the under-18 AFLW Allies team, which is made up of South Australia, Northern Territory and Tasmanian girls.
So those girls in the draft this
year? Yeah,
or?
They will be. Yep. Yeah, so it'll be a good chance to have a look at Victoria, WA and see what talent we've got in our own patch too. But I was saying to JJ before the show, you know, it's not all the dizzy heights of the AFL. Wow. I'm staying at the Christian Youth Centre for 7 nights.
No glitz and glamour of a Gold Coast
in the dormitories. Yeah. And I've got to keep, you know, 26 girls between the age of 16 and 18 entertain on two rest days on the Gold Coast.
What have you got planned? Any ideas?
Wet and wild? Yeah, I was going to say that's the truth.
I've had some experience in this before, there might have been some sunbaking happen on one of the rest days when I was up there and a bit of sunstroke.
It's not good for the dehydration.
It's not. We'll be locking down on that this year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing who puts their hand up to get drafted.
You won't need that Kathmandu you've got on.
No, I certainly won't. I'm getting the spray tan this afternoon, guys.
Very good. That'll go up.
Preparations are key to success.
Socials. Now, you're watching some Fox Footy the other night.
I was watching some Fox Footy, and I noticed that J-Pod was actually in one of the greatest debuts, ranked in one of the greatest debuts. And I thought, I might just have a little bit of a... I was trying to take a photo at the screen so I could social media it, so we could talk a bit about it. And I noticed on social media, an Instagram account, the J-Pod Nation. Have you seen this? It's a fan club for you on Instagram.
The Nation.
J-Pod Nation. Do you know how many...
I told Mum to take that down.
Do you know how many followers? Do you know how many followers you have on the J-Pod Nation?
If it goes over 12, I'd be pretty happy.
31, I'm going to say.
24.
12. Yeah, I was halfway
but
there.
I think after last night and you having the greatest debut, we'll have a few more.
25.
That's my
Actually,
prediction.
Speaking of quirky social media, someone's significantly altered my Wikipedia page. Not for the better.
Oh. Oh, not for the hilarity or the comedy?
Nah.
What's happening?
You've been hacked.
Slightly disappointed when I read it, yeah.
You've been hacked.
Yeah, someone's really gone to town on me on that, so appreciate that for whoever that was.
Really. Won't be a
Called me a lamppost, actually.
I wonder what Amos. Sure. I just wonder what Amos was doing with his legs. Maybe this is what.
Bright and sparkly.
Referred to me as a lamppost,
you know,
that
showing the
is
way
on the field. So, not an official term by Wikipedia. So hopefully the owner
posts don't get 13 tackles.
Hopefully the Wikipedia man can get on there and fix it up.
Yeah. You know, you can get on there yourself and fix it up.
Yeah, well, I assume that's what someone's done to make it look like that.
Well, let's go back to your debut. Yeah. Have you ever watched it? Do you watch it? Go back
no,
and watch
I was
a lot
earlier
of the footage.
That, I did get some text messages on that night. Saying that there was some stuff around that, but I've never gone back and watched it. I mean, you move on pretty quickly, and you know, you watch some vision with the coach that week, and I vaguely remember seeing some of that stuff. And then you move on to week two, really, or game number two. So for me, it was obviously everyone sort of knows that it was a long time coming. It was sort of 10 years to get to that debut, and I still remember it pretty vividly. I remember the Cameron Ling presented me with a jumper before the rooms and said some really nice things that actually humbled me a lot, and to coming from a guy like that was pretty special. But the game itself, I'd like to actually go back one day and actually watch it.
So not many memories of the actual game itself.
No, I do remember I played on Luke McFarlane over in Subi. Going into the game, he was obviously a number one draft pick. Yeah. He was one of the premier defenders in the comp at the time. So, I knew I had to play on him. It was going to be a tough day, but I think we got a win in the end, Beck. Did we lose?
Got away with it. Did you kick five?
No, that was game two.
Game two.
But
they might have showed some footage of that and missed. Yeah, under your great debut last night.
Maybe
yeah.
I've slipped down the rankings.
I'll write them a letter.
What about you, Josh? Your first game?
It was the same day that Black Caviar raced in Adelaide because they changed the time slot for the game. For our game.
Oh, really?
They moved it forward so people could get to the, at least see the race, who'd been at the footy. Yeah, that's memorable. We played the Cats. Was it at Amy Stadium? I think it was about round 7 or 8 in 2012, which was my first season at the Crows. So we had a big win, and it was
when Jimmy Bartel and Harry Taylor had shots towards the end of the season?
No, that was the next year.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it was 2012. And the Crows actually had a really good year that year and finished or a kick away from the grand final.
Black Caviar had a good year too.
She's had a pretty good life, really. I think I only had 6 or 7 disposals, but hung on for a game in week 2.
Was Black Caviar's career prize money similar to your last contract?
I've just got it covered on it.
Yes, he's out to pastures. What else is happening around the club at the moment there, Josh?
James is probably more in a better position to give us, you know, there's a real strong.
So there's football, but there's lots of other
things
going on.
Speaking of big dollars,
yeah,
and pride.
We've got a fair contingent of players and coaches that love their golf,
right?
Which is probably led by Pikey coming in.
So he's a good golfer.
Pikey's off one,
ooh.
So he's pretty good. Yeah, he'll let you know about it too. So we've got, I think. Tate Kaysler and Tex have put together a bit of a PGA tour for the players and coaches. It's great because it sort of gets the players and coaches and also the players themselves outside the football environment and gets us building relationships with them. And there's a bit of banter that goes on there as well. So we've got four golf days over the space of 4 months. It's sort of like a bit of a major 4 days, and everyone's got a handicap, and there's some guys wearing masks with their handicap. Yeah, Paul right. Seedsman is one. Okay. I can think of straight away, and then obviously the end of the tournament is the person with the highest Stableford score wins. So it's going on. We're halfway through.
Hackers as well allowed to play.
There's a couple of hackers.
Josh, you in there?
I don't play. I'm not a part of the group, but I've got an uncontrollable slice, which
most of the guys do,
which gets a hold of me. So I just choose not to play.
There's some guys that need some work on their game. I think Brody Smith. can be the hottest golfer going around, okay, and then he's the worst golfer going yeah around.
Actually, so going for birdie and then, yeah, then 10 over.
Interesting yeah video. Exactly. Brody posted it. I assume the guys were having a hit. Jake Lever. What day would that have been? Thursday? Wednesday, yep, they were having a hit. Wednesday. Right. And Jake Lever's hit the ball and it's gone past Brody's ear, who was sitting in the...
he's hit a water tank.
Sorry, hit a water tank. Yeah. Ricocheted past his ear.
That's good.
So fortunately, Brody's right to play this week, but he another metre to the right and he perhaps wouldn't have been.
What happens on that occasion if he comes in and goes, ooh, golfing injury?
Oops. He's got a concussion through golf.
Oh,
he doesn't get his match payment.
Yeah, right. What about the girls there, Beck? What are they, you know, what other sports are they
into? Musicians.
They sing songs.
Yeah, they're all musicians, so we keep them safe. I noticed, you know, Taylor Harris is now over at Carlton.
Yes.
She's actually got a boxing career that she had her debut last
week.
Did
she win or lose?
She won, I think. She won. I've just seen something on social media about it, so... look, they've got some interesting ones, but I don't think I'd be particularly happy if any of the girls sort of couldn't play because they got a golf ball to the side of the head or, you know, a punch to the face in their boxing
the
career.
Going
to
start up a basketball tournament, Josh, at all? Just any other keen basketball players?
There are a lot.
I know there's a lot of watches of the
not sure how it would go on the ankles and so forth. So, no, there's plenty of guys got a hoop out the back. That's about as far as it goes for us.
You ready for a top four?
I certainly am.
Let's
do it.
JJ's top four. Now, I'm glad I went down this path now because it hasn't really, there's something that happened last week that hasn't really garnered as much attention and credit on this show as I would have liked thus far.
You've been pumping it up in the media every time you've done an interview this week though.
Therefore,
doesn't need anymore,
Beck,
does it?
I'm not sure if you know, but I equaled last year's tackle count in one game last week for me.
I did know
it. Had 13
last
year, had 13 last week.
I did know it.
He had 13 tackles.
Therefore,
I did know it.
Well, I can't wait for tonight.
He actually said to me straight after the game, he was thinking about this segment being changed to the top 13 rather than the top four.
Therefore, I'm going to go with the top four tacklers of all time.
All right,
I just missed the
tackle. The lamppost.
Now, I will... just a couple of things first and foremost, and I was doing some research. A name that popped up in the top 20, there was a list of top 20 individual games of all time. Jared Brennan is in there, a guy who used to get ridiculed for being lackadaisical and quite lazy and sometimes. He had 16 tackles, and he was a big guy as well, like quick but big guy. Had 16 tackles against Essendon in 2009, so that was interesting. And another little stat, the five of the top 20 all time individual games by a person have happened this year, this season, which gives you an indication of stoppages and all that kind of stuff. Therefore, number four is a Brownlow medalist, which you wouldn't always associate with tackling, but it's Matthew Prittis from the West Coast Eagles. He has three of the top 10 tackling seasons in history. Right. Number three is a guy who would be synonymous with the tough stuff, and that's Brett Kirk. From the Sydney Swans. 20 times he went 12 or more tackles, so that's a pretty good effort. I've just done it the once. Scotty Selwood, a former Eagle and a now current Geelong Cat. He's the only player in history who has gone above 200 tackles in a single season. That was 2011. And then number one, and the numbers don't back me up, but it was a different game, as I said, and this player played predominantly throughout the 90s. He was only 163 centimetres tall, so the fact he could actually lay a tackle at that size and shape is remarkable. But it is a man, or a father of, a player we'll meet tonight, and that's Tony Liberatore. I've given him the people power spoke. I did a bit of a pop quiz at training, and I said, you know, who are the guys that spring to mind? And everyone said Libba, and I clarified, and they said, you know, Tony. Remarkably, he only averaged four tackles a game, the stats suggest. But then... 4.39 he averaged. Back then, it was a different game. If he come at you, though, you know, I remember Matthew Knights. I remember he clawed his face one day trying to tackle him and ripped half his face off. So my number one tackler of all time thus far, and I'm coming for you. But at the moment, it's Tony Liberatore.
Bit of a head wobble during the week from the 13.
Flat on the
pods.
Thought the podcast would at least get it on before.
Well, we had it on the agenda. We crossed it out after you did radio this week.
Oh, well.
Plenty of interviews.
My grandma was happy.
No, it was, look, at the end of the day, we want, to have a key forward, put pressure on the opposition is critical of the way footy's played these days. So.
Problem is, Beck, now they expect 13 this week.
No, I reckon 1 1/4. I read your interview the other day. 1 1/4 is a good idea.
It's
good thing, mate.
It's a problem tackles. For you. But isn't it exciting when you see big forwards tackling? You know, Sarah Perkins does it for us
well.
She
actually, yes.
Yeah. She finished number 2 in the competition for causing the most turnovers in the comp, in the whole of the AFLW. Yeah, so that's what you want.
I did notice that.
It's what your big forwards doing it. So keep it up, big boy.
All right, well, let's talk about tonight, the big one. Friday night footy at Adelaide Oval. The Bulldogs are here.
Oh, it's a big game, let's be honest. We always talk about it's only worth 4 points, but this game, reigning premiers, you can say they're probably not in the best form or the same form they were last year, but we won't take that lightly at all. I mean, they play a system and a structure that's really hard to play against. They don't really get scored against too often and too much. But Friday night footy, I mean, Adelaide Oval will be packed.
Yep.
The nation's going to be watching. So I think it's a great, not a test, but it's going to be a great game for our players to actually put a stamp on. I suppose their trademark and how they want to be seen.
Yep.
It'll be a scrap, but we are going to win. Yeah.
Are you going to turn the TV off?
No, I won't turn it off.
Switch it off.
I'll be flying into the Gold Coast, seeing if I can get a signal at the Christian Youth Centre. But I'm looking forward to it. It's bloody exciting to have it at Adelaide Oval on Friday night footy. Love it. It'll be huge, and the boys will win.
Hope the rain holds off, JJ.
Yeah, I do. If the heavens open,
he can tackle now. Rain means tackle.
As much as I love Adelaide Oval, if the heavens open, I feel free to both jump on a plane and head to Etihad and play this one. But I do love Etihad. No, it should be
last time.
Yeah, against the Doggies. Yeah, unfortunately, it wasn't enough.
Yeah, I know.
We still got there. The thing about the Dogs that 99 times over 100, they'll bring supreme effort, and that will allow them to stay in most games. So you've got to be ready for that, and you've actually you can't match it. You've got to top that. So we're looking forward to the opportunity. We've been blessed this year to play plenty of prime time Thursday, Friday, Saturday night games.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd expect nothing less than 50,000+ in the house.
Come on.
So Crows fans, get there tonight. There's no reason. A little bit of rain won't hurt anyone. Exciting times, and just another opportunity for us to bank another win and get closer to securing what will it be, our 11th win for the season if we win?
Yeah.
I think we're 10-4.
Yeah.
So that would make us 11-4. And not far away from securing a final spot. So another win on that journey.
Business end of the season is coming up. All right, let's finish up the podcast.
Right, yeah.
Pod's quote, or are you changing it slightly?
I'm changing it.
What? Ooh.
I've decided I've chopped and changed all year, but for the rest of the year, I'm going to go with coaching cliches.
The greats.
Right? The great closing coaching cliches.
You opened with one just before then.
You did,
You said, it's a big game. it is.
And that's the end of the show. But I'm going to try and dissect what it exactly means too.
Now, is this press conference coaching cliches, or is this internal as well? You're using these?
No, these are press conference, and Beck can help me out. So the one that you hear a lot is we have to focus on the fundamentals.
Righto.
So for the person that's not in the inner sanctum of a football club, what that actually means is we've got to focus on everything to do with football.
We can't kick or handball.
We can't mark. We can't handball. We can't tackle. We can't defend. We can't get a ground ball. We fumble.
We're no good.
So when people say we've got to focus on the fundamentals, it means everything.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Good luck tonight. AFC.com.au. Go and check it out for all great Crows content online.
And we missed Amos, didn't we? We missed him.
We did, yeah.
You know
we'll be back next.
I mean, we still did. We managed to fill sort of 30 minutes.
The last home game we had, I didn't mention this, but I would like to get into him today. I was walking out of the race and the banner was up and that. And you know how we've got supporters and members that sort of stand
Oh, no, he wasn't, was he?
He was one of the guys.
He was one of the kids, was he?
He was a kid. He was one of the kids that sort of stand on the side of the banner.
Oh. And what did
you want? And I was like, did what he are you doing here? He's
did
like,
he wave
thumbs up, happy smile, like he's a rat.
Yeah,
he's
kind of creepy in a way.
What are you doing here?
He wants to get the outfit on and run through the banner.
It was a massive
chance. He wants to hold Texas' hand and just run
Well, that's what I thought was going to happen because he was first in the queue.
There's an opening as Claude the Crow, actually. You can let him know.
Yeah, great spot for him.
Very good. Crow Show, Sundays on 7. Have a great weekend, guys. And
thank you.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.